Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Thank you, Elwin. And, isn't it a great blessing to worship? Even as we joined in worship this morning, my heart was just lifted up, and in the scripture that was read and the songs that were sung and shared together today. And I really think one of the keys is it was the glory of God. We focused on God's glory. And to think that God, by His grace, through Jesus Christ, would give us an opportunity to experience a small measure with a group like this of what we will do for all eternity, I think just lifts our spirits and just encourages us. God made us to glory in Him. Amen. And when we do that, we're doing what we were designed to do. We praise Him for that. Thank Him for that. God has spoken in His Word. We have the Word of Almighty God before us. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have eyes to see? Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer as we go to His Word. Father, thank You for the great opportunity to continue to worship. Thank You for gathering Your people today for corporate worship. God, what a joy it is when our voices are lifted up together to bring glory and honor to You through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, help us to continue to do that right now, not in uplifted voices, but in humble hearts. Help us, dear God, to submit to You. God, we pray that there is a yearning within our very hearts of Your Word and what You say and what we might learn and what we might be and what we might know of Jesus, our Savior, for Your glory and for the exaltation of the Son of God. We pray and ask these things this morning. Amen. Amen. I want you to look with me this morning at John chapter 1, verse 14. A few weeks ago, during the Christmas season, we looked at this verse in some detail. I draw your attention again to John chapter 1, verse 14. John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we understand then that the Word, who according to verse 1 is God, became flesh or human. And God dwelt among us for 33 years as the God-man, Jesus Christ. Now here in verses 14 to 18, the Apostle John will help us focus on two things: the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, why would I say that? Look at verse 14. Because John says that they beheld, or they saw closely, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And then at the end of verse 14, John says that this glory of the Son was full of grace and truth. In verse 16, John says of His fullness, we have all received grace for grace. Verse 17, John says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so by the grace of God, John wants us to see the glory of Christ. By the grace of God, we would see the glory of Jesus. And folks, when we see the glory of Jesus, our lives will never, ever be the same. Now, this fits clearly into the reason or the purpose why John wrote this gospel. In John chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." So I'm talking today about the greatest issue or the most important question for every human. How can we put it in words today? Now we often say that. This is important. This is vital. This is the most important thing that we'll ever consider. And yet today we state it in a very specific way. It can be stated in several ways. But folks, the focus is always Jesus. The focus is always, it's always centered on Jesus. So what is the greatest issue? What is the most important question as we look at this passage before us this morning? Will you see the glory of the Son of God? Will you see the glory of Jesus? The entire Gospel of John gives proof of the glory of the Son of God. And folks, it's an abundant glory. It's a glory manifested before the eyes of all. But it's the grace of God that must open our ears to hear and our eyes to see this glory. And folks, when that happens, when the grace of God does that, then we're changed. We're transformed. We're given spiritual life. We're given eternal life. Now look again with me this morning at John chapter 1 verse 14. This is where we'll begin. We'll work through the passage. What we see first of all, John 1 verse 14, is the revelation of Christ's glory. Again, John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so they beheld His glory. They saw it. They saw it closely. They beheld His glory, and it was full of grace and truth. Folks, the Apostle John, by the Holy Spirit, wants us to do the same. Now, for this to happen, two things have to be overcome. There are two kinds of darkness that need to be removed. I want you to think about this morning. First of all, the glory of the Son of God has to be revealed in the world for us to see. So the glory of the Son of God has to be revealed so that we can see it. There must be a light that shines in the darkness. And then second, the blindness and the darkness of our own hearts have to be removed. So think about this, two kinds of darkness that need to be removed before we can see the glory of the Son of God. The darkness of this world has to be overcome, and the darkness of our hearts has to be overcome. There's a darkness in the world, there's a darkness in our souls, and both have to be overcome or we will not see the glory of the Son of God. Now how does this happen? Well, first of all, the darkness in the world is overcome by the incarnation of the Son of God. God came in the flesh. John says here in verse 14, the Word became flesh. And then he says in John chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so the incarnation or the enfleshment of God removes the first obstacle. The darkness of this world has been overcome. The light has shone or shines in the darkness. The incarnation revealed the glory of the Son of God that overflowed with grace. And folks, that very grace was needed to overcome the second obstacle. The darkness in our souls is removed by regeneration or by the new birth. And so it was the grace of the Son of God that opened our blind eyes. And folks, it was the glory of the Son of God that we saw when our eyes were opened. You see, we can see the glory of the Son of God. It takes the work of God's grace for us to do that. By His grace, through the new birth, we move from darkness to light. And so both of these obstacles are removed as the incarnation revealed the glory of God the Son that overflowed with grace. And that very grace is needed to bring about our regeneration. And so the Apostle John then wants us to focus on the glory and the grace of the Son of God. Folks, there's no spiritual, eternal life without it. Now look at verse 15. John 1:15. So our focus now, the glory and the grace of the Son of God. Verse 15. Verse 15 is like a parenthesis, but it fits exactly with what John is saying. Notice now, he draws our attention to John the Baptist's witness of Christ's glory. Verse 15. John the Baptist, bore witness of Him, of Christ, and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." So before further explaining the glory and the grace of the Son of God in verse 16, and John does that, the apostle does that, the apostle now reminds us of the witness or the testimony of John the Baptist. Now, why would John the Baptist's testimony be important? I mean, John is talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Word made flesh. He's drawing our attention to the glory of the Son of God and the grace of the Son of God. And then it seems like he goes in a different direction. For just a statement, he brings our attention to John the Baptist. Why would he mention John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was highly regarded as a righteous man. He was a spokesman for God. John the Baptist himself declared that he was the forerunner of Messiah. He said he was the voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." He fulfilled Old Testament prophecy even in his actions and in his proclamation. And folks, people loved him and they followed him and they listened to him as he prepared the way for Messiah. But people also hated him and they despised him and they would eventually put him to death. But John the Baptist was not the Messiah. John the Baptist was not the Messiah. And I believe that the Apostle John is reminding us that it is easy to give glory to the messenger of God and not God. It's easy to glorify man, even one who is called by God and speaks for God. It's easy to give glory to man, here in this case, to John the Baptist and not the Messiah. Folks, it's easy to give devotion and allegiance to one who speaks for God and ignore God. This must not happen with the Son of God. It's the glory and the grace of God the Son that gives life, not His messengers. And we're reminded here in the words of the Apostle John that John the Baptist saw the glory and the grace of the Son of God, and he gave testimony to it. He said, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me," or ranks above me, "for He was before me." John the Baptist recognized the Lamb of God. John the Baptist saw the glory of God the Son, and he knew that Jesus ranked higher than him and was actually before him. John the Baptist even said, he was before me. And when he says that, he's recognizing the eternal deity of the Son of God. You see, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. John the Baptist was before Jesus in human terms. He was born before Jesus. He was born before Jesus, his relative, was born, but in existence of being, the Son of God was eternal. The Son of God had always existed. And so the point is this, that even this righteous, holy, bold spokesman for God, we know him as John the Baptist, he could not hold rank with the Word who became flesh. He could not hold a light to the light that came into the world. He was a good man. He was a righteous man. He proclaimed the truth, but he gave testimony and he gave witness to the Son of God. The glory of Christ was absolutely superior to the glory of John the Baptist, and it was the glory as of the only Son from the Father. That's the parenthesis. That's why John mentions that, but it's important. One of the greatest of men, John the Baptist, could not hold a light to the glory of God the Son. Now look at verse 16. Because it's here that we see then this grace to see glory. The Apostle John says, and of his fullness, this is the fullness of Christ, of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. So verse 16 connects then with verse 14. Verse 15 is the parenthesis. So verse 14, then verse 16. Verse 16 literally begins with the word because. Many translations have the word and. Literally, the word is because or for. And so it would read something like this, beginning with verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten or only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, because from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Now, what's important to take here in verse 16 is this, that receiving grace is the reason why we can see the glory. Now, I'll let you think through that just for a moment. Receiving grace is the reason why we can see the glory. In other words, we see the glory because we have received His grace. This seeing or this beholding of Christ's glory, folks, it's not a natural seeing. It's a supernatural seeing. When we receive this supernatural grace, it opens our blind eyes through faith. And when our blind eyes are opened by the grace of God through faith, we see the glory of Christ. Hold your place in John chapter 1 and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verses 3 through 6. Here's how the Apostle Paul says it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. You see, by the grace of God, we see the glory of the Son of God. By the grace of God, our eyes are opened and we see the glory of the Son of God. Here's how Paul says it. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who were perishing. And so there's the gospel's hidden. It's veiled. It's covered. Paul says, whose minds, the ones who can't see, the ones who were perishing, the ones whose sight is veiled, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. See what Paul said? Just like John the Baptist, I proclaim Christ. Paul says, I proclaim Christ, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now, why is that? For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, it is the grace of God that opens our eyes and shines in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, we will see the glory of the Son of God as the grace of God works within us and is bestowed upon us. So the logic then, back to John chapter 1, the logic of verses 14 and 16 is simply this. We have seen His glory because we have received His grace upon grace. So the grace enables the seeing. Grace then would be the supernatural power of God regenerating us and opening our blind eyes so that we can see Jesus Christ for who He truly is. Folks, that is why that we pray and we ask by the grace of God to open blind eyes and open sin-dark hearts. We ask, we plead with God to give light, to open eyes, to open hearts to the gospel. And our prayer then is that the grace of God will open the spiritual eyes of people to see the glory of the Son of God so that they would become children of God. Now look at verse 17. Because verse 17 actually begins with the same word as verse 16. It begins with the word because or for. So verse 16 and 17 read like this. Because from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace, because the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So why does John now bring Moses and the law in? You see, we take this together. We're looking at the context. We're looking at John's purpose here. So often, we just pull verses out and we pull little statements out. And we can do that as long as we do it properly. But yet, we take it as a whole. We're looking at the context. Why does John now bring Moses and the law in here? Well, remember the context. It's the glory and the grace of the Son of God. And folks, even the most famous, the most important person in the history of Israel does not compare with the Word that became flesh. Moses passionately desired to see the glory of God. If anyone would be said to have seen God, it would be Moses. There was no one higher or greater or more important. And the law, the written manifestation of God's holiness and righteousness, was given through Moses. Hold your place in John 1 and turn to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Look at verse 11, Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. First part of the verse. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. That's enough to just astound us. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Can you imagine the relationship between God and Moses? Now hold on to that. Hold on to that. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But oh folks, Moses wanted more. Moses was not satisfied with that. He wanted to see more of God. Look at verse 13. Exodus 33:13. Moses says, Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, Show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. You see, Moses even went further. He wants to know God. God speaks to him face to face. He wants more. I want to know you more. Show me now your way. And he goes even further. Moses wants to see the unmediated glory of God. Look at verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you've spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he, Moses, said, please, show me your glory. And to this, God responded. He revealed his grace, and he revealed the backside of his glory. Look at verse 19. And then he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back and my face, but my face shall not be seen. And then notice the next thing that happens is Exodus 34:1. And that's the giving of the law the second time. Verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. And then, when the Lord came down, it says, look at verse 6, Exodus 34:6, the Lord came down, verse 6 says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Folks, by the grace of God, this man, Moses, saw the back of God's glory. He saw the fleeting, passing glory of God. Now, how does all this fit together? Go back to John chapter 1. You see, John is contrasting Jesus Christ with Moses. Now think about this, folks. Moses was the lawgiver. Moses was the friend of God. Moses spoke with God one-on-one. And you know, we begin to think about that, and that just astounds us. Moses saw with his own eyes the backside of God's glory. And all of this was an act of God's grace. That's why I believe that verse 16 refers to receiving grace upon grace. First of all, there's the grace of Moses giving the law by the hand of God. And second, there's the grace of Christ bringing the fullness of grace and truth. And so Moses was surely important. Moses was truly valuable and glorious as a man. But oh folks, here's the contrast. Moses points to grace. Jesus is grace. Moses reports the words of God. Jesus is the Word of God. The law mirrors the light of God's holiness. Jesus is the light of God's holiness. And even Moses, who said to God, show me your glory, even Moses was only allowed to see the back of God's glory. But look at verse 18. Because John says, well, no one has seen God at any time. There's the connection. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, or only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The Son of God, who is God, is not at the Father's back, but He's in the Father's bosom, in His chest, in the closest place. And there is no place closer, brothers and sisters. Jesus would say in John chapter 10, verse 30, that He and the Father are one. They share the same nature. They share the same essence. Two different persons with the same nature and essence as deity. And so Moses received the law, and he wrote it down as a manifestation of God's holiness. But far, far greater and higher and more valuable and glorious is the presence of God Himself declaring God. God the Son declaring God the Father. John 1:18, the only begotten God, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. How glorious is the Son of God. Amen. How amazing is the Son of God, is this Word made flesh. Folks, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Jesus Himself was lifted up. John 3:14. Moses called manna down from heaven. Jesus Himself is the bread from heaven. John 6:32. Moses wrote about Christ. Jesus is the Christ. The law of Moses was the Word of God. Jesus is God, the Word. Moses glimpsed the back of God's glory. Jesus embodies the fullness of God's glory. No one has ever seen the fullness of God, not even Moses. But now, there is one at the Father's right hand. He has made God known. He has made the Father known. God has become flesh. And folks, that means that the simplest believer who sees Jesus Christ and His glory sees the glory of God. Wow. Moses saw the backside of His glory, and the simplest believer through Jesus Christ can see the glory of God. The most important question you'll ever answer is this: have I seen the glory of Jesus? Another way to say it is this: have you received Jesus Christ for who He really is? Have you welcomed and believed and trusted in Jesus Christ for who He really is? If, by the grace of God, your eyes have been opened and you have seen the glory of Jesus, you have seen the glory of God. There's no better way to end this morning than the words of Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 44 and 45, Jesus said this. He says, "Whoever believes in Me, believes not in Me, but in Him who sent Me. And whoever sees Me, sees Him who sent Me." May God open blind eyes to see Jesus. And may God move us who see to share the glory of the Son of God with others. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow before You this morning, we are simply astounded and amazed at the grace that you bestowed upon us. A grace that is centered on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, thank you for the words of John. I pray even now that by your Spirit, that understanding and comprehension and receiving of this truth is taking place. And Lord, I ask humbly this day that according to your purpose and plan established before the foundation of the world, that you today are opening blind eyes to see. I pray, God, that your grace is working in the hearts of people this day, that they might see Jesus and the glory of the Son of God. Father, help us who have seen to open our mouths and to live our lives in such a way that your glory is declared. We thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. As you work faithfully and constantly in the lives of people, we will trust you and depend upon you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.